While we sort this out, Raj, could you please press play on that video? Thank you.
Just give me 1 second. Thank you. Sorry. Hey. Hi. 2 minutes. Thank you. Hi, good afternoon. Sorry about that.
Oi.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. Have you ever done one of these interviews over the camera before?
No.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the job to get started with. It's not just a job. It's sort of probably the most important job. The title that we have going right now is Director of Operations, but it's really kind of so much more than that. Responsibilities and requirements are really quite extensive. First category for the requirements would be mobility. This job requires that you must be able to work standing up most or really all of the time, constantly on your feet, constantly bending over, constantly exerting yourself, a high level of stamina.
Okay.
That's a lot.
For how many hours?
135 hours to unlimited hours a week. It's basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I'm sure you'll have a chance from time to time to maybe just sit down here and there, yeah?
You mean like a break?
Yeah.
No, there are no breaks available.
Is that even legal?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So like no lunch?
You can have lunch, but only when the associate is done eating their lunch.
I think that's a little intense.
No,
not possible.
That's crazy.
Now, this position requires excellent negotiation and interpersonal skill. We're really looking for someone that might have a degree in medicine, in finance, and the culinary arts. You must be able to wear several hats. Associate needs constant attention. Sometimes they have to stay up with an associate throughout the night. Being able to work in a chaotic environment, if you had a life, we'd ask you to sort of give that life up. No vacations. In fact, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and holidays, the workload is going to go up, and we demand that with a happy disposition.
That's almost cruel. That's almost a very, very sick, twisted joke.
But when there's time to sleep or...
Oh, no time to sleep.
Yeah, all encompassing almost.
That's exactly right.
365 days a year?
Yes.
No, that's inhumane.
That's very insane.
The meaningful connections that you make and the feeling that you get from really helping your associate are immeasurable. Also, let's cover the salary. The position is going to pay absolutely nothing.
Excuse me?
No. Nobody's doing that for free.
Yeah, pro bono. Completely for free.
No!
What if I told you there's someone that actually currently holds this position right now? Billions of people, actually.
Who?
Moms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moms.
That's awesome.
And they meet every requirement, don't
wow.
they?
Oh my God. Moms are the best!
Yeah, there's no pay. They're 24 hours, they're always there.
Now I'm thinking about my mom.
Yeah, and what are you thinking about her?
I'm thinking about all those nights and everything.
Thank you so much for everything you do. I know it doesn't seem like I appreciate all of it, but I definitely do.
So, Mom, I want to say thank you for everything that you've done. I love you very much. You've been there through thick and thin.
Thanks, Raj. How good's that? I love that video. When I watch it, I remember to last year I was asked to do this really awesome church tour over in WA. I was approached and asked if I would like to go. It was a 7-day church tour over in WA from Saturday to Saturday. And it was a really great, really awesome opportunity. And in getting ready for this trip, everybody getting to know each other and all the other people who were going on the trip, I think there was about 7 or 8 of us, and everyone starts sending in their resumes, their CVs, and I'm reading all of them, and there's pastors, and they've got like all these years of experience. They've been youth pastors, senior pastors, associate pastors. They've built churches from the ground up. And a couple had doctors, PhD after their names, all these letters. and me. I was asked, my name is Melissa, I'm a former hairdresser, mother of three. It's my first year in ministry leadership last year. And the only letters that are associated with my name are M-U-M. Or as my children like to say, Mum! My favourite way to hear it. But I'm reading all these things that all these people have done and I start to freak out. And I'm reading their names and I'm reading all these letters after their names and all the amazing things that they've done and I'm freaking out. And I'm going to Becky and I'm like, why am I going? Why me? Who said, let's send Mel? Whose idea was this? And let me have some words with them, please. Who said that I should go? I'm just a mum. Anyway, I packed my bags and I went to WA. And I met some really awesome people. It was one of the best experiences of my life. I left my three boys. We've got some photos of my three crazy kids that will come up. There they are. That's them 5-6 years ago, just after I had my baby, my last one. And then there's another one of them now. And that's the insanity that is my life. So I packed my bags. Off I went to WA. I left my boys. There's Caden, Caleb and Xander with my husband and my dad to take care of them during swimming week at school. I wasn't sad. And that was my first time away from my kids for more than one night. It was the first time that I'd been away from them for more than 24 hours. It started off with me feeling like really excited. I danced through the airport. But by day three, I was video calling them going, oh, I miss you so much. I can't wait to come home. I mean, look at them. Aren't they cute? I'm a little biased. So my youngest had never been away from me at all. He still comes and climbs in next to me at night and says, Mummy, I just need a huggles. So he had never been away from me for that long. Because after he was born, I didn't go back to work. I stayed home. I stayed home and I was mum and I was wife. Proverbs 31 highlights for us what it is to be a good wife. We could tackle the feminist arguments about why this makes a good wife, but we won't do that right now. Right now, I want to recognise all the things that are mentioned in part, because we don't have all day. We've got places to be. What it doesn't say is that you get married and you have babies and you stay in the kitchen and that's it. That's what it doesn't say. It does say that a Proverbs 31 woman is juggling life, work, mothering, just like many of us are now in Melbourne 2024. Proverbs 31 woman comes from BC. You could argue that this woman is a trailblazer. She's earning her own money. She has her own business. She employs staff. It's pretty freaking cool. I said freaking. That's hard to do even now in 2024. Imagine back then, like the cultural pressure of breaking that mold of going out and saying, I'm going to do this and doing it. It's awesome. If I was to use some modern slang, I would say she's a boss mum. A bodacious, bombastic, brilliant boss mum. If we think of that video that we just saw, And we think of those requirements, very similar to some of the things that we read in Proverbs 31. You sleep when the associate sleeps. Eat after the associate has eaten. How many mums lived off scraps for the first 4 years of your life? I'll just have the crusts that he didn't eat. It's what we do. It's what we do. Standing more than sitting. Working extra hours on special occasions. But not today, right, dads? Not today. And what doesn't happen in Proverbs 31? She's not shamed. There is no shaming her choices to work. There is no shaming her choice to have a business. There is no shaming that she goes out and finds fields and buys fields and creates jobs, because that's what she's doing. No, it's celebrated. Proverbs 31 celebrates this woman who goes out and sells her wares and supports her family. She teaches, she speaks words of wisdom and love. We heard this morning some of the funny and really great things that our kids think we say all the time. My boys were meant to get up, but they got shy at the last minute. But I spoke to Georgie before and she said, oh, you're going to laugh at the things that they say you tell them all the time. And I went, oh, yeah, okay. Get dressed. Get ready for school. Go brush your teeth. Put your socks and shoes on. Words of wisdom right there. She is valued not only for the work that she does, but because she fears the Lord. That is what sets the Proverbs 31 woman apart. In the children's translation, Bible translation, it says, she respects the Lord. Sometimes we can get caught up on that word fear and not really understand what it means. But I find that the children's Bible sometimes makes things so beautifully simple. And it uses that word respect. She respects the Lord. A Proverbs 31 woman knows that all she does and all we do is not for our own glory, but for the glory of God. To do the work God has set out for us. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. Being a boss mum is a labour of love and worship to God. When our focus is on Christ, our work of mum becomes extraordinary. At the time when Proverbs 31 was written, and even in today's climate, advocating for one's family, your workplace, your colleagues, is hard. As a woman, you have to fight harder, speak louder, prove ourselves more competent and capable than others believe us to be. Not just once. Not just twice, over and over and over and over again. I've never been so fierce as I've had to be when I've advocated for my children. They have helped me find my Proverbs 31 woman. They have helped me find my voice, my ferocity, and my deep, deep passion. God sees all of this and he values it. He values women and he values what we do. Proverbs 31 is just proof of that. After I had my first two boys, I was able to go back to work. It was really great. I got to go back and talk to adult people and hear real conversation and finish food all on my own. That was great. What made that really possible was that I was able to leave my boys with my mum. Going to childcare just wasn't an option. But my mum was there to take care of them, and that gave me peace. I was able to go and do my job and feel comfortable. And my mum was an amazing woman. We all think our mums are amazing. And she was a Jesus-loving woman. She was a Proverbs 31 woman. She was fun, loving, supportive. And she was Mima, as Caden called her, because grandma wasn't cool enough, so he decided to name her Mima. But she had such a deep faith that was rooted in Christ. And not only that, but she was an overcomer. She overcame many, many obstacles in her life. She was a prayer warrior. She was an encourager. A hard worker. Perseverer. But to me, she was just mum. I look back and I think of all the things that she had overcome and all the things that she had had to fight in her life to be able to stand as the Proverbs 31 woman she was. And I used to think, oh my goodness, how does she do this? Because I would have given up a long time ago and I would have walked away and I probably would have kicked and screamed doing it. But now I know. Now I know that all that she did for the glory of God. I know that she did the work laid before her and she praised God in every step of the way, in everything that she did. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "The Lord said to me, 'My grace is enough for you. When you are weak, then my power is made perfect in you.'" So I'm very happy to brag about my weaknesses, then Christ's power can live in me. When our focus is on Christ, when he is at the centre of what we do and how we live, our work as mums, as women, as carers becomes extraordinary. It is so easy to fall into the trap of believing what the world would have us believe. As mothers, as women, that what we do is of no consequence. Unimportant. Easy. Ask my husband how easy it was doing swimming week on his own without me for 7 days. It's very easy. When we're deep in the trenches of parenting, changing nappies, doing the 1 millionth load of washing, being mum's taxi service, I'm just getting into that. It's great. It's real great. Shopping for groceries, cooking meals that your toddler decides that they don't want before they've even touched it, or your preteen, because I'm learning that too. It's like they become toddlers again. It is easy to believe the lies that the world would tell you, the lies that you don't matter, that what you do is just what you do, that it's easy. When you're staying up late with your associate, when you are feeding that associate before you get to feed yourself, going out to plant a vineyard, sell your wares at the market, provide food for your family, all the other things that we see and hear and know that our mums are doing, that our women are doing. What you do has value. Who said that? God said that. God tells us exactly what he thinks about mothers. and what he thinks about women. That is what we believe. This book that I've been reading, or flicking through, because I can only do so much, called Risen Motherhood, and this sentence just perfectly, beautifully sums up what I think. There is no mundane moment too small for God's glory to shine through it. Isn't that awesome? I'll say it again. There is no mundane moment too small, changing nappies, doing the dishes, going grocery shopping, for God's glory to shine through it. Mothering our next generation is not for the faint of heart. God is at work in every ordinary, mundane, repetitive task. When we have Christ at the center of our hearts and our lives, being just a mum is extraordinary. There is no ordinary when God is being glorified. We're doing the work that God set before us for the season that we are in and for the season that comes ahead. Biological mothers, adoptive mothers, stepmothers, spiritual mothers, auntie, sister, friend. What you do, who you are, is valued by God. Philippians tells us, I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me. I can go out and plant an orchard. I can make clothes if I wanted to, but I don't. I can stay up late with my associate when he's got an earache and he's crying and he says, I just want my mummy. Through Christ who gives me strength. When God is in the middle of what we're doing, there is nothing ordinary about what we do. When I was on my trip and after, I came to a realization, and it's something that I say to many people when I'm encouraging them, but it's not something that I've ever really taken to heart myself, which is really silly, isn't it? But it's these words, and I've said it to many people. God doesn't call those who are able. He enables those he calls. He doesn't call those who are able. He enables those he calls. God values you. He sees you, and he values what you do. When Christ is at the centre of our hearts and our lives, being just a mum is extraordinary. So as we leave here today, women, mothers, sisters, aunties, friends, fathers, men, brothers and uncles, I encourage you through this week to hold on to those values of the Proverbs 31 woman. In all your work, remember that God doesn't call those who are able. He enables those who he calls. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the value that you place in women and in mothers. Thank you that your word reminds us constantly that you love us, that you see us, that you are with us in every step when we feel like we can't. You are there and you uphold us. As we go out today to celebrate the mothers and the women in our lives, be with us. Those who are not with their mother, those who have longed to be a mother, embrace them, Heavenly Father, with your love and your grace. And be with us as we leave here today. In Jesus' name, amen.